April 2nd. Approval of the minutes are March 5th, please.
Motion.
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Carries. Eric Rose.
Everybody.
Morning.
Good morning, sir.
First item, requesting authorization to extend a contract with Fire Alarm Services, also known as FAST Technologies. This is for monitoring of the fire alarm, some multiple county buildings. That will be our third extension. We have one more after this. There is no price change. So it's staying the same at the amount of $16,400.
Motion.
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Carries.
Next item, just requesting authorization to use the capital project for flooring capital project to replace stair treads in the main DSS stairwell. This was one that was missed. We were focused on the 2 hours where the tile were popping, and Jack brought it up in the last committee meeting that, you know, he had concern based on some of the slips and stuff that we've been exposed to in those steps. So we're looking to, we had the contractor come back and quote that, which he did. We have a quote for $10,963.91, and that takes care of 21 steps and the three landings. It was just brought to my attention. They're still trying to vet his ability for state contract purchase. So we're waiting for that clarification through Andy's office. But we'd like to get this approved and then work through it as hopefully the stuff meets the needs for Andy's office.
Make a motion.
Second.
Got a second?
Yeah, second.
Okay. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Carries.
Just a quick update, mental health building. The last thing we're doing there is the flooring. So hopefully we get that piece together finally after all this work with the doors and hardware mix up. And I think I reported on that a couple committee meetings ago.
Looks great.
But it's coming. So just want to keep you guys in tune what's going on. That's all I have.
Thank you, Eric.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Marie.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I am asking for authorization for a public hearing relative to the land for the certified agricultural districts for the 2025 annual 30-day period.
Motion.
Second.
Further discussion?
How much new land was submitted?
When I looked at the spreadsheet the other day, I want to say it was like 900 and some acres. This one, we got quite a few requests, and so my spreadsheet is the ones that we're going to consider and the ones that were already in the ag district. So it was about equal in the number of parcels of that were already there. So at least, you know, even though they're in there, at least people are still reading it and thinking about it, even though they're already in it. So I believe it's about 900. And then I also have a doodle poll out to the Ag and Farmland Protection Board, hoping to start possibly as early as next week, late next week meeting or the week after. So then we'll have that all set to go for the public hearing and going from there.
Thank you.
All right.
Any further questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Carries.
Thanks.
Thank you. Jack.
Nothing on my
outside agencies, soil and water. Hi, Jeff. Thanks for coming.
Thank you for having me. Start by saying I appreciate the county legislature for giving us that extra funding for the stream bank program this year. That's going to help out tremendously with all the requests that we have. So I didn't bring a list with me this time, but we've already started with some of the work.
Have to push the button.
She sneaked up on you. Push it.
It's amazing. I ain't even got my glasses on. Yeah. Anyway, we do appreciate it, and we thank you very much. So we're moving forward with that program. One of the other items I wanted to bring to you today to make you aware of is that after the 24 flood, which impacted Bennett's Creek, Colonel Bill's, and Tuscarora Creek mainly. We kind of ended up putting together a quasi resiliency committee made up of all of our state representatives, legislators. O'Mara's office was the driving force in the beginning of it. I was fortunate to be able to get DOT to sit in on it, our Eric with DPW, and a number of other individuals. We were trying to figure out how to get ourselves lined up for the New York State Resiliency Watershed Grant Program. I made two attempts to try to contact that DEC agency prior to December of this year. Heard nothing. So I've still heard nothing. And our next move is to put together a request letter that's going to go to the governor's office, DEC's office, and a number of other agency offices so that we can see if we can get this thing going. So in the interim, when I was working on that, lo and behold, New York State Department of Environmental Conservation puts out the Flood Mitigation Funding Resilient Watershed Grant Program. So now the program came out. So what I want to try to do is get the county legislature to also sign off on the letter that I have put together, or that the Soil and Water District could put together. Soil and Water Districts can be a applicant for this grant program. So we want to try to move that forward. We were in touch with O'Mara's office yesterday to try to figure out how to get everybody to sign off on this letter. So we're trying to figure that out now. And if I can get the county to also be a signature on the letter, that would be great. I don't know how to move it forward. So that's why I'm bringing it to your attention. I can give you a copy of it.
Yeah, I think I saw a draft from Tim Marshall last week.
Okay.
I think
Tim was on the committee.
Yeah. If there's changes, I'd say once you have it in final draft form, you can send it to me and I'll distribute. And I don't think unless, you know, we could do a formal memorializing resolution, but I could send to folks, and as long as everyone's okay, it's basically advocating for, you know, additional funding and support.
Yeah, it's going to line up with what DOT wants to do and those three watersheds too, because they want to do a study on their own infrastructure. So we're hoping to piggyback with that, whereas we can use some of that information that DOT is going to get, combine it with a whole holistic watershed approach with the funding from the resiliency fund, and put up a really good report so that in the future we can apply for additional grant monies through the other programs that are going to be available to us.
Yeah. So certainly, you know, I can send it around, you know, if Kelly's okay with it, Kelly and I can sign on. She on behalf of the legislature can sign on. Yeah.
Okay. That was my number one. Number two, I just wanted to let you know that we did get approved for one project on the Bennett's Creek watershed through the WQIP grant program. Took me two times, but I got approved on the second round. We're working through the state contract now. This is on Bennett's Creek, just below the state route bridge and outside of the village of Canisteo, on the near the Moss Farm project, where we had it over top the banks twice. So we have acquired the funding for that. I have the engineering project done. I actually got DOT to donate their services and surveying the whole site for us. So they contributed time and efforts in it also. So we've got a grant for about $385,000. So we're going to move forward with that one, hopefully later on this summer after I get the DEC stream permit. We've also got another grant that we applied for through the state for agricultural work, and we're going to be working on a couple farms for doing nutrient management and some improvements to their facilities for leachate control with silage storage. That grant's somewhere around the tune of $1.2 million, so we're going to be moving forward with the contracts on that. Everything else at the state level right now, grant-wise and funding-wise, we're in good shape. So I'm not too worried about what's going on at the federal level, because pretty much we don't depend on a lot of federal dollars to get work done. We have in the past, but we don't have any existing contracts with the feds, so we don't have to worry about the implications of the IRA funding and that sort of thing. So we're in good shape right now. We're not going to lose any funding that we use to pay for employees. So that's good news for us. The other thing I wanted to hand out to everybody is that I wanted to give you a list of the funding provided to landowners and farmers last year. We do this at our annual report meeting that we have at the end of the year in December, usually, where we do a Cooperators of the Year award. And sometimes the legislators get there and sometimes you guys don't make it. But I wanted to hand this out to you to show you where all the funding comes from for the Soil and Water District. Last year in total, we brought in $1,161,289 was brought back into the county through grants and state funding for our program. The allocation that the county gave us last year was $248,676. So basically, for every dollar you gave me, I gave you $6.68 back. So it looks like we're going to be able to do that again this year. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. So I will hand out this information to you, and I will leave a copy or copies of the letter that I have put together. I'll give you one, Jack, and then I'll leave some on the table. So if you guys are interested in picking them up,
any,
you can do
any that. Questions for Jeff? Fred.
Jeff, where do we stand on stream cleaning the streams? Like they did a fantastic job on the Colonel Bill's Creek from South Canisteo up through, but
yep.
Troops Creek, it was hit and miss. The same thing with Tuscarora yep. Creek. And time we had a high water event.
So in the Tuscarora Creek watershed, we're having to get stream permits for the sites right now that we want to do. I have a number of sites that are listed to get worked on this next summer and fall. We're working on those permits right now. There's a number of sites where we need to start removing some material out of the channel itself to get its capacity back. We have to use the programs that we use nowadays to figure out channel capacities based out of USGS program called the Emergency Intervention Program, which I'm very familiar with. So we're using that methodology to figure out the channel size, floodplain elevations, and what needs to come out. I've got a couple sites along Old State Road in the town of Tuscarora all ready to go. The Holden property is another site that we're looking at right now. We have some in downtown Woodhull. Not downtown Woodhull, but in Woodhull that we need to do. It's actually above the bridge site. Wheatcraft's bridge site there that we've got to do. Troops Creek right now, we have our bulldozer in behind Bob Carl's farm, trying to get that cleaned up. And then we're going to move up to the next farmer up and try to get that channel reestablished a little bit. And then I'm going to Troops Creek on the Murray Knowles property to try to get that one cleaned up next. So those are the
big ones in Troops Creek that we're looking at. There's another one. I can't think of the route number. We call it Squab Hollow.
Yeah, above 84.
That bridge, that channel's almost filled back in again.
Yep, County Route 84, Squab Hollow. We've got a FEMA site on that one right now that we did a emergency patch job on it with County Highway until we can get the FEMA money to, we got to redo the rock on that channel. That channel's probably dropped an elevation of at least 4 feet vertical, and the side slopes are caving in, and the bottom of that channel is nothing but the bluish silty material that if you walk too much equipment across it, you could sink it out of sight. So that's a, it's a tough site. I got another site just above the old, there used to be an old Amish sawmill up the road where the entire stream has diverted itself, and it's got a 20 foot drop to it. We got to try to stabilize that. It used to be an old federal project that was done there. So I did qualify through FEMA for that money. But so, yeah, we're working on it.
Yeah, I was talking in particular where the main Troops Creek comes down through along 36, just before it gets to that Squab Hollow Bridge. It's got a big curve in there, and that has filled itself almost incompletely.
And so is that above the Hoppers Road?
No. It's what used to be the Benton Farm.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with Benton's.
It's on the north side of the Squab Hollow Ridge.
Okay. Oh, north side of Squab Hollow. Yeah. Okay. I know exactly where you're talking.
Oh.
Yep. So.
Okay. Well, thank you.
We got only a couple of bulldozers and only
right.
A couple of operators, and we're doing the best we can do with everything.
It would be nice if we could get some support from the state to get some additional equipment and operators in to help you out.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I haven't had much luck with that in the past because they don't have the staff nor equipment either. So,
Have you seen any change in the DEC's posture to allow you into streams? I mean, I remember the last summer when the governor came and it was a big,
so
we're going to look into that.
So what they came up with, and I was the guinea pig to do it for the entire state, was a new emergency programmatic general permit. So they sent me the permit. It's 71 pages.
That's short for the state.
Yeah. So, but you don't have to fill out all 71 pages. You only fill out two, and you have to read the other 69 or whatever to follow all their recommendations. But that's the permit that we use, and we have been successful in obtaining permits for all those sites for DPW when we were doing the FEMA work. We've done 20. We did almost 30 sites last year, 30 permits. And right now we've done an additional 9 or 10, and we're still working on them. So we're getting them back within about a 2-week period right now, and I'm still calling everything an emergency. So until they tell me, Jeff, it's no longer an emergency, I'm going to keep sending them that paperwork.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we've done huge stream stretches like County Route 14. What was the other big one? County Route 60, 31, 21, all those larger sites that we were able to do. I actually had a meeting with Army Corps and DEC. We drug them out in the field. It was a lovely day. It was spitting snow and rain, and oh, it was white. It was great. Mm-hmm. And they only lasted till about 2 o'clock because they got wet and wanted to go home. But I showed them what we were doing. And everything we were doing met all Army Corps permitting regulations and everything. And they said, Jeff, just, they're not worried about me right
now. Good, good. So
that's what we're doing.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you.
Thank
very
you
very much.
Lot, sir.
Can we turn this off so the next person has to remember to turn it on?
Marie controls that.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to include one more thing today is kind of give you an update on one of our committee goals, and that was to promote small business creation and growth. James and I have been working on some stuff. Jack helped us get started, get us headed in the right direction. James and I met with SCIDA and got them involved in it. And James also volunteered to take the lead on this, so I'm going to let him take it from here and give you kind of just an overview of where we're at so far. We're just getting started, but...
Right. So to Mike's point, to the priority, which is to kind of engage the small business community within the county as one of our top goals. And one of the things we wanted to start with is kind of seeing what are the efforts that are happening right now. And so Jamie Johnson and Jill Statz were kind enough to meet with us to kind of discuss and what happens when, say, a small business or someone wants to start a small business. What are they going to do? How do they engage with county programs or agencies, any support at state level? And so just learning about what the path might be for someone that wants to start a business or someone that wants to grow the business that they have. So out of those conversations, there's a few agencies that we provide some funding to, maybe not a lot, but some that we'd like to engage with and then take into the community. So the discussion really went to how do we do that? And the thought and the idea that came out of this was to start doing some small business roundtables and starting it off in AIP member districts. So right now it's in the, you know, early phases of trying to figure out even how does that look, programmatically or format wise. But right now we're looking at including the Small Business Development, Council. We're looking at getting, REDEC involved, getting CSS Workforce involved, Incubator Works. So some of the programs and agencies that already operate within the county and are doing, you know, funneling not only programs and services, but dollars into small businesses, having them at the table, and then us inviting small businesses in our areas to the table and to have conversations, hear from them directly about what challenges they're facing. How do they interact with the county? How do they interact with the state or the federal government? Just so that we can kind of open the lines of communication a little bit more, learn what they're experiencing, learn how we can help. So the idea right now is to potentially go into our communities. We would be in charge of inviting the businesses that we think would be representative of our community, try to get a broad range of different types and sizes. But really the focus would be around small businesses, retail size businesses, not, you know, the typical focus of the IDA, which is around medium or large industrial manufacturing type businesses. So it would be really focusing on Main Street and retail type businesses and just hearing more from them directly.
We're thinking we might ultimately have some kind of a sounding board where people that are starting small businesses, you know, it's a struggle. They have skills, they have ideas. First of all, they got to get money, and there's a lot of help out there to do it, but they don't know how to do that. And also stumbling blocks to their businesses. So we're thinking maybe somebody like Scott that runs a small business now would be an advocate, and they could contact him and he could walk them through some of the steps or help them with their business even. So,
yeah, I know there's obviously multiple small business owners here that serve on the board. So it's going to be a great, I think it's a great opportunity to just engage. And so what do you think? That's the thing is right now, just what kind of feedback do you have? Like I said, it's in the early stages, just trying to figure it out. Obviously, summer season is busy, so probably wouldn't want to try to get something maybe started before then, and then maybe pause it, learn from how it went, and then restart it after kind of into the fall.
I like the sound of it. Get things ramped up, see how it goes.
And yeah, just learn along the way. Mm-hmm. It would kind of just...
What things are effective, what things aren't, you know, what we got to scrap, and then...
Yeah.
What parts are
right. And if we need to invite anybody else in, right. Cause right now we're trying to just see who are the players that are working with small businesses and trying to get them off the ground. Who are the ones that are helping them grow? Where do they go? And we also want to obviously update the offerings at the county level in terms of potentially
having a one-stop shop on the website as to here is where you can start. And mm-hmm. here are some of the things that we can do to help you, or maybe just point you in the right direction.
Like yeah, that idea. That's a good idea.
There's a couple counties living. It's through their county IDA, but on their website, I thought it was a pretty effective how to, like, very easy to find for mm-hmm. someone like me who's a novice who doesn't own a small business. Okay, how do I start with this? So topic based, mm-hmm. but want to hear, you know, obviously you folks as legislators would want to hear, but then you can relay to staff. Okay, this is what we need to promote and different ways to promote it to make it just easier for people to start a small business in the county.
I like that.
Kelly.
One thought that just occurred to me on this is that, you know, we also want to promote tourism, and we have the CVB that does the Destination Development Grant. Perhaps what we need to do is develop a program and have one of our partner agencies that works with small business be the lead on this, because they would have more resources and it's more in their mission than it is in the county mission. But we would be the agency that pulls this group together, gives them some parameters from our perspective, and then moves forward with something like that.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. And one of the things, and it's, I haven't pinged Tim on it because it hasn't, you know, kind of reached that level of analysis, but there is more regulation for how you as a county give public funds to small business. Whereas if you, like you said, Kelly, contract with an agency who's in charge of that, and so you are funding that agency to promote, then that gives, I think, a cleaner break where we don't run into, you know, some unforeseen issues if we gave this business this money and that sort of thing.
Anything else?
I have a couple of other things that I wanted to discuss when you're done with this topic very quickly.
James, you all set?
Yeah. No.
Okay.
Sounds like
we'll keep you updated. So,
yeah. Thanks.
Okay. First, Jack, when are we supposed to do the memorialization or the resolution for the, weren't we looking to FEMA or somebody to help us with money for the levy?
Study? Yeah, that's on for public safety. So you should be receiving that information today with a draft memorialization. I just saw it yesterday from Janet. So that'll be for public safety on Monday.
I wasn't sure if that was for this committee.
No, we talked about putting it through public safety because of Tim's office.
Perfect. Second, I am working on, most of us are probably aware that NYSEG held a meeting in Big Flats regarding electricity rates, and they brought teams of people in so that individual consumers could meet with these teams and discuss their concerns and their bills. We are working on one of those, very close to being able to give you the date for one located in Campbell. And then I'm also trying to get them to do one in the Hornell area. So I'll need some assistance from Paul to give them a couple of suggestions for locations. So we're looking at using the Campbell Fire District building, the church there on 415, for a meeting. And once they have the infrastructure in place, we'll be able to put that out for advertising. But I just think that with the new smart meters and everyone's bills going up, that they need to come in and talk to consumers that are interested in talking to them. So if anyone else has any other thoughts or points that they wanted added onto that, please feel free to reach out.
What kind of rationale did they provide why rates are going up? Is
they didn't
infrastructure
provide me with any rationale yet at all.
Pardon me?
They didn't provide me with any kind of rationale at all. So you will get the opportunity to meet with a customer service representative to go over your bill and discuss the bill.
The general, the thing that's driving a lot of the cost long term is the infrastructure needed to meet just the transmission, just to meet the CLCPA guidelines. And I don't know if you've heard talk out of Albany. There were some reports last week about people really finally realizing that CPA goals might not be possible due to the fact that you're going to have to build all these transmission lines within the matter of the next couple of years, which is just not possible unless NYSEG and RG&E and the rest.
Despite hearing that for a year's worth of public hearings, being told that, they still continued on.
Yeah, I think... I think it And again, just my opinion, but I, you know, what we talked about folks down in New York City, where a lot of the decisions are coming from, realizing that, you know, rolling brownouts probably won't be great. So
yeah,
maybe we should take a look at what's realistic.
That's the other thing. We're trying to compile a list of subject matter experts and perhaps have an extra or special AIP meeting so that we can be more informed on what needs to be done. And then we could also put together letters, memorialization, saying this thing needs to be pushed back, but we need to have experts in here telling us what we need to do and how we need to do it and what are realistic expectations for it. So we're working on some of that behind the scenes as well.
Thank you.
One other question. When Fred's questioning of Jeff made me wonder, is there an update on the JT school? What's going on?
I don't want to. Well, yeah.
Okay.
The new superintendent is holding monthly meetings with residents to keep them informed. The last thing was that they're around 46-47% of the cost of rehabbing the old building, what a new building would cost. And so they were told to go back in, find more cost, more expenses. They've done that. And the problem is the way FEMA calculates that percentage is not the way a contractor would calculate it. So now they're working with FEMA. They've been giving access to one of the upper levels of FEMA for information and so forth. They're hoping within the next 2 or 3 weeks to have an answer on that. It's been a long, drawn-out process.
But it does look like, Fred, that FEMA is willing for them to build new out of the floodplain still, right?
Yes.
Yes. And that's obviously Tropical Storm Debbie. I was talking with a resident down in that area over the weekend. Obviously, horrific, tragic. If anything, it showed FEMA you got two floods through that school in 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe rehabbing is not the best idea. So that at least moved that, if there's a silver lining anywhere.
Yes. And something I thought of when you were saying that, it's left me already.
No.
But
sorry, I ran my mouth.
Thank God the Greenwood School was available.
Yeah. If it wasn't, the comparison that I heard from Schumer's office was when 2011, when Maine Endwell flooded, the bad flooding, they were an hour and a half on a bus.
Wow.
To find an available school. It likely would have gone to Hornell.
Hmm. Okay.
Anything further? Motion to adjourn.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
We're adjourned.